present, he lives on the Browns Gap Road. Mr. Harris, where did you live when you were growing up, when you were a little boy?
Well, I lived on the Browns Gap, just under the hill from the Browns Gap on top of the Blue Ridge Mountain.
On top of the Blue Ridge Mountain?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now, Mr. Harris, I want you to go back in time with us and tell us, number one, how many were in your family?
Nine.
Nine children?
Nine children.
Were you the oldest or the youngest?
No, I was in mom in the middle. I have two brothers older than I am.
I get it. Now, your home, what was that built of?
Well, our home was mostly, part of it was an old-time log home. And the other part, my dad put on new and was in pretty good shape. But one half of our home was in a bad shape.
He put on new because of the extra children?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. All right, now, how many acres did you have?
We had, if I remember right, we had around 27 acres.
27 acres up on top of the mountain.
Yes, ma'am.
Must have been mighty cold there in the
winter. Oh, we had two and three stoves going in the winter. We had to do it to keep from freezing to death.
Sure.
And when the sleet, it snowed and sleeted on top of that mountain till sometime we'd drive nails in our shoes so we could climb the mountain. We'd go up on the mountain for half a mile and cut wood and limb it up and get it started and had to go clean to the hollow right above our house. And then we'd saw it up with an old-time cross-cut saw. It wasn't no chainsaw in them days.
No, no. While we're talking about trees, did you peel bark?
Yes, ma'am. We peeled a lot of chestnut oak bark and stacked it all about over the mountain and carried it out to where we could get to it on our backs. We cut grapevines and stacked it on to catch hold of and put it up on our back and carry it off of the mountains to where we could get to it. A lot of it we could get to. But our very best bark was in rocky, ledgy places where we couldn't get a sled or a wagon through. And we used a wood sled. Yeah. Or we could, and stack the bark on it and haul it to the, where we could get to it, the wagon. And then we loaded it and hauled it to the valley here to ship it from Groves.
You used grapevines?
We used grapevines for care.
Yeah.
We'd lay them down and stack the bark on it, all we figured we could carry, and then catch each end and wrap it up and put it on our back and carry.
Roughly, how much would that weigh?
Oh, we carry much as 100 pounds.
100 pounds?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It was rocky up there.
Yeah, most of it was. We had some pretty fields around the house that we pastured. We took in milk cows and milked them for the butter. We had a cement spring house with cold water in it, and my mother would churn. And we would carry the butter across that mountain from Brown's Gap to Black Rock Gap. There was an old hotel in Black Rock Gap.
Yeah.
And we sold it for 10 cents a pound. And we carried it barefoot. We didn't have no shoes. And to take an hour and a half after we get home, get the chestnut burrs out of our feet. The chestnut burrs blow off the trees and get dry. And we get our feet so full of chestnut burrs, it would take a long time to get them out.
Didn't that hurt terribly?
Oh, no. Well, it hurt, but them days, people didn't pay much attention to hurt.
I want to ask you later about the Black Rock Hotel, because we do want some information on that. How many cows did you have?
We had four of our own, and then we milked about seven of them belonged to the farmers in the valley. And then we would pasture them for the milk. And all together during the summer season, we milk about 10 cows. And we'd churn all that butter and give the sow milk to the hogs. We always kept a lot of hogs. Give the sow milk to the hogs. And then we had plenty of butter all the time for our own use. And the other butter, Mama would fix it in buckets and tie a cloth over it. Big, nice, big yellow pounds, had that cold water just hard as it had been froze. And we'd take about four of us, girls and boys, would take a bucket full of peas on every side of the morning, carry across that mountain 5 miles on our shoulders to Black Rock Hotel.
Why did the Valley farmers pasture them up there? Then they didn't have the use of the milk, did they?
No. But they had put them in there and let you pass them during the summer till they was fresh. And then we couldn't use the milk then. But then when they take them away in the fall, they had an extra calf to take away. And they just didn't need them at home during the summer.
Yeah, all right.
And then my father looked after the farm fences. We fixed fences and looked after cattle for about 6 farms joining us all around. We fixed the fence in the spring before they bring the cattle here. And then my dad would salt them on Sunday. He would salt all of the farm fellas and count the cows and watch after them they wasn't gone. Sometime one would get over on the other man, we'd have to bring him back.
Valley farmers then, around your area then was bluegrass. Is that right?
That's right. We had bluegrass there in that hall, a fine pasture. Cows stayed fat all the summer.
Roughly how many valley cattle came up?
Well, in 4 farms, they run somewhere to 75 or 100 apiece in there. Mr. Talbot, Stuart Crone, John Driver, and Gib Fortman, and all on along with different ones of them. They bring the cows in the spring.
Yeah.
And my dad looked after the most of all the farmers. And then he'd take the money in the fall. He didn't give but $20 a year off of each farm. But he'd take the money and buy flour for winter for feed all of us children.
Right. Because wheat was hard to grow up there, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
man, we couldn't grow no wheat. We could grow good corn on the hillside. We'd have to work it by hand and sled it off in the fall on a sled.
Yeah. Did you grow buckwheat?
Sometime we growed a little buckwheat. It wasn't too good up there.
Rye?
We had rye at times.
Mm-hmm. So you grew corn.
But it wasn't nothing for market. We always fed everything.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the rye, what would you do with the rye?
If I remember right, the old man would take poles and whoop out some of it and stack it and take it and have it ground for the hogs.
You never made any moonshine out of the rye?
We made moonshine out of the rye, but when we had it, but when we didn't have it, we bought it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have an apple orchard?
Yes, ma'am. We had a good apple orchard. And people from the valley come in there and buy them every year, buy all we'd sell. And then we filled out, we had a cement cellar, we filled that bowl in the bowl. Milam apples and Alma Pippins and Baldins and good winter apples. We had apples all the year up until the next spring.
Oh boy.
Keep them in a dirt cellar.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You grew vegetables.
Yes, ma'am. We had good gardens and we raised cabbage up our heads and weighed 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, they get so big and hard they crack open.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sure. Did you make sauerkraut?
Yeah, we made sauerkraut in a barrel.
Mm-hmm. And did you bury the cabbage or?
I bury them, a lot of them, what we didn't sell. My mom and daddy's hauled cabbage out of there, down over this mountain road, up this old dirt road to Waynesburg, and stay all night at a spring up yonder, and sell them in Waynesburg for only 10 cents a head.
Jeez. All right, now, did you have chickens?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you sell the eggs?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you sell those at the Black Rock Hotel or
at
the store?
No, we sold our eggs out at the store.
Down here in Grotto?
Yes, ma'am.
That was quite a distance away, wasn't it?
Oh, to Burnham, you mean? Well, we went in and out every day. We had a lot of cars with diesel in the moonshine so heavy.
Yeah.
We had some good cars.
Uh-huh.
Until the revenue men started coming in, and then they broke us up so much and caught us all and cut up so much. Why, it was all over then. We actually would have had to leave the mountain anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
After they got in and got to cutting up our stuff and breaking it up and sending us to jail and prison, different things, why, we wouldn't have no other way to make a living. All the timber had been cut out, the bark was all peeled, and it wasn't hardly a way we could have lived if we'd have stayed in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. School. Did you have a school anywhere near you?
We had a little school, Hillside School, 3 miles from where we lived. We had a lady from Whitehall, Virginia, teaching school. Hey.
The school was 3 miles away?
We went 3 miles. We walked 3 miles to a little hillside school out of near Fort Carter. And we had a lady from Whitehall. She still lives, and her name was Lottie Moffin. She boarded with us.
Oh, she did.
I fell in love with her.
Uh-huh.
I was young, but I thought an awful lot of her.
The school was for how many months a year?
Well, it was generally run like other schools, but the weather gets so bad at times and so snow so deep while the schools have shut down.
Sure.
People couldn't get there.
How about the children that had to work on the farms? Did they get there in the fall and in the spring?
Yeah, well, Papa always tried to arrange it where all of his family got to the school lunch.
Right.
When the snow wasn't too deep. But we never, none of us never did learn much up there. What mostly we learned after we got in the valley.
How far did you go through school?
3 miles.
No, how far? What grade?
Oh, I didn't get up to about the fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
And I got into the seventh grade after I went to the valley.
Oh, then you had learned a lot.
Yeah, I did.
You had. Okay. How old were you when you moved out?
Well, I have to think on that. I just don't exactly remember exactly. I must have been somewhere around 18 years old.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, church. Did you have a church?
We didn't have no church. They had a preacher would come there sometimes, once in a while, and preach in that little school. We'd always go to them. Now we belong to the church. We go to church every Sunday unless it's something matter. We belong to this new Church of Christ up here.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000 church just been built.
Yeah.
We belong to that. We go to church all the time.
What happened when people died or wanted to get married if there was no regular minister?
Well, they'd have to come to the valley. It was here in the valley.
To get married?
Uh-huh.
Well, how about if they died?
Well, we had a cemetery back there. Most of the people had a home cemetery.
Yeah.
My mother and father were buried right in Brown's Gap. My granddaddy and grandma.
Mm-hmm.
He's buried up in Brown's Gap. My mother and father had done left the park and was out here, left the Blue Ridge Mountain, and they were buried here in the valley.
Yeah.
But my granddad and grandma appeared back in the hills.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Well, she was Emma Sipe.
Sipe?
Uh-huh.
Were there many Sipes up there?
No, I believe she was the only Sipe up there.
Mm-hmm.
My dad got acquainted there here in the valley and married her. She was Sipe. I had an awful good mother.
Oh, great. Now, who your neighbors, how far away was your nearest neighbor?
Well, they were on an average of a mile apart.
The houses were more scattered,
yes,
in this area, weren't they?
Yeah, we only had, we only had three homes anywhere near us. Then more homes were 8 and 10 miles from us.
Mm-hmm.
That is Andrew Garrison and Lee Garrison and Roger Barr. They was three homes near our home.
Mm-hmm.
About a mile distance, a mile and a half would have took into the distance of all three of them.
Then was there much visiting?
Not too much. Only in the corn shucking time in the fall. We'd sled, a man up there had a few hogs and cows would raise corn. And they'd sled it off the mountain, pull it behind, sled it off in wooden sleds and pile it. Till they got it all in and then they'd have corn shucking.
Yeah.
And a bunch would come and help each family to shuck the corn and we'd go and help them back.
Yeah.
And that's the way they got all the corn shucked off in the bowl.
Did you have the custom of hiding a jug underneath the corn?
Corn, and whoever found the first red year got a drink.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know all about that, looks like.
Oh dear. How about apple butter boiling? Did you do
apple
that?
Apple butter, we had more apple butter boiling than anything else. What we didn't use was salt. And we'd have girls and boys, neighbors to come and help stir it. Nights, daylight, and all times we'd make apple butter.
Sure.
And we'd have big butchers. We always kept 8 or 10 hogs to kill. And we grazed those hogs in the mountain, on top of that mountain. And we didn't have to feed them nothing. They found acorns and grapes, pokeberries, and stuff enough to fatten their own self. When we'd bring them in off the mountain in the fall, they'd never leave the range too far. They'd always come home, in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get ready to gather them up in the fall, when the weather started getting cold, they were ready to butcher. That's right.
Mm-hmm. During the apple butter boiling, did anyone play any music? Did you have any fiddles and guitars and anything like that?
No, not at the apple butter boiling. We had an awful lot of square dancers.
You did?
And they'd come for miles.
Uh-huh.
We had people, Will Wood, and people from the valley around Crozet and Whitehall on the east side of the mountain was acquainted with us, and they'd bring the music and come and play. We'd have square dances, and then we'd go from one other's house to the other and have square dances.
They were good. Did you have a particular caller?
Yeah, I called the figures most places after I got older.
Could you do one? Yeah. Could you do a call right now?
Oh, we used to dance Swing Your Partner, and then let's see, go back and swing your partner before you leave. And that is when you go back in March.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did they serve refreshments while you were having this square dancing?
Well, we drink some whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Just enough to keep things
well,
going.
Well, nobody gets drunk at this, all it.
No.
We hardly ever had any trouble with anybody getting drunk and was trouble.
No, just to have fun.
Yeah, big time. Ball yeah. Rail, big time.
Yeah, right. The Black Rock Hotel.
Yes, ma'am.
Was that open all year round?
Well, I think it was open, if I remember, I think it was open all year. But the roads and stuff would get so bad sometime, it would be just the own people there.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bob Miller used to live in Grotto and run that hotel.
Bob what?
Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, people would go up there and spend a week or two or
That's
something.
Right. He had bowling alleys. Good ones.
Uh-huh.
We used to go down bowl when we had any money to bowl with. After we got in the whiskey business, we always had money and we bowled on.
Yeah. The people would come. How would they get there?
They'd come up the Black Rock Road, come from the valley. Oh, we used to have time up there. We'd have, it's 50 people some Saturday night supper.
Gee.
He had three alleys.
Uh-huh. Have you any idea how many guests he could take care of, to stay overnight?
Oh, maybe 8 or 10.
Uh-huh.
I'd say 8 or 10.
And the meals, were they good?
Yeah. Their meals were good. He fed good. He got most in the summertime. He got all his butter from us.
Yeah.
And Mama Dallas, he kept that peppermint candy in the glass bowl, the pink and the white, the little round. She would allow us a pound apiece for carrying the buck.
Oh, boy.
And the candy was 10 cents a pound. They took 1 pound of a butter for each one of us to get us a pound of that candy.
Hey.
We was just young.
Yeah, right.
But we enjoyed it.
Hey.
If we did get our feet full of chestnuts.
Did you ever sell any of your hands there?
Ma'am?
Did you sell any hands there?
My daddy was a different than most all the other mountain men. We eat our hands. He said if he had to raise his hogs, he wouldn't give all the good part to somebody else. We mostly always eat our own hands, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Did you dry beans?
Yes, ma'am. We rolled bark, big wide bark, packed a strip in the end on the side of them. They'd turn up like a tub, and she'd keep them out on the roof, upstairs roof, out of the window, on the roof, and take them in, you know, when rain, storm. And then put them back out till they get good and dry. We dried a lot of beans during the summertime, fall of the year.
Did you put any salt or anything like that in those beans to keep the worms out?
Not a thing. We never was bothered with nothing getting in them.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Did you dry apples?
Dry apples too.
Uh-huh.
I never did like them, but Mama would always dry apples.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I never could eat. With dried apples.
I heard it made good pies and dumplings.
I never did like them. Some of our family and my mother and dad liked them, but I never could eat no dried apples.
Yeah? Okay, you were stubborn.
That's right.
You say you did raise some buckwheat, and you would take that to be ground,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
How far away was the miller?
At Linwood down here, 12 miles from where we live.
You used the horse and wagon?
Yes, ma'am.
How many horses did you have?
We generally kept 3 horses.
3?
Mm-hmm. You see, we hauled timber and bark over there, and it took 3 horses from them hollers to pull a wagon to the top. And sometime we'd have to double up with the neighbors. They'd bring 2 of their horses and put them in the lead and use 4 till we got to the top of the mountain. And then my dad got to hauling a half a load of bark on a locust post. Or extract wood, a half a load up, and come back and get a half a load, another half a load, and when he got on top of the mountain, he would take his first half he took up and top the whole load out to make a cord.
Mm-hmm.
And he could haul it from up right down here with 2 horses on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it would have to make a double load out and down in the hollow, pull a half a load up, and unload it and come back and get another half load. And when you get back to the top, they put the first half load back on top of that. And then he'd have a cord of extract wood on. We'd bring it to the grottos and unload it and ship it from him.
Mm-hmm. Why would he carry it up and then carry it down again?
He wouldn't take it down. We'd just take the first half to the top, so when we went up the next half, we could load that on. The horses couldn't pull a full load up.
But why take it up if you had to bring it down?
Oh, we come down here. We brought it up. We live down in the hall.
Oh, I see.
And we have to take it up to the top of the mountain a half at a time and then top the load there, and then we come down this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had to use a lock on the wagons, a check block and a lock all the way down the steepest part of Brown's Gap Mountain.
Did your daddy play any instruments?
Oh, he played a fiddle a little bit. He wasn't good with it. He never did fool with it a lot.
How about the jewsharp? Anybody play the jewsharp?
Papa could play a jewsharp too.
Uh-huh.
But we boys never did play much.
You didn't?
Oh, late on in the years. We had an old-time organ my sister could play.
Uh-huh.
And we'd all play and sing sometime on Sunday. She could play some pretty hymns you want to listen at.
Really?
Yeah. Daisy, my sister, she's dead now. She died about 2 months ago.
Oh.
She was a good organ player.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we had. None of us never learned to play guitar or banjo. I had an uncle have a son who lived across the mountain about 8 miles from us, and he was a real banjo picker. Elmer Ernst.
Would you have him come over when you had your square dance?
Oh, yeah, he'd come and bring his banjo often, especially when we was having a dance.
Yeah.
And he was a powerful good banjo picker.
Sure.
And she could sing good, too.
Did you have much work to do in the winter?
No, we couldn't do nothing much in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we had to look after in the winter was fog, and it took plenty of that. We'd get all we could in the fall, and then when we went to get the scarce along about Christmas time, we'd have to get low, and sometimes the snow would be 4 and 5 foot deep and drift 10 foot deep. I seen the snow blow off that hillside over our spring house, and we took little stone shovels and cut a hole through it so we could get to the spring house. And my dad marked a bush up on top of it, a paradise bush, and so he could measure down in the spring. And he measured down in the spring from where the snow was on top of 17 feet straight down. It drifted 17 feet deep. And on top the hills wasn't none. All grew off in the hollow and settled. We'd try to come out here to get plow or something sometime and ride horses and get them down in them drifts and have a time getting them out. And we had Dr. Whistler used to come in there to see us or see some of the last children was born. And he never followed the road a lot of time. He'd come right straight down over the mountain, over top of the fences and everything, on top of it. Had ice shoes on his horse to go to buggy. That's right.
Did snow ever come in your house?
Well, we had a pretty good house. We didn't get much snow in the house. Maybe it was a little bit blow in around the box and at the top enough maybe to track a cat next month.
Yeah.
Sweep it out before it thawed.
Yeah.
But we had a pretty tight house.
What did you do in the winter? Just sort of relax?
Yeah, we made moonshine.
Yeah.
After we got into that, we'd beer the barrels and pack leaves around them so it would heat and work. And then when it wasn't too bad, we'd run off some match.
Okay. You couldn't fix fences because they were all covered with snow.
No, we had to wait till spring.
Yeah.
And they didn't bring it. Stock in there to pasture till in May, and we'd have the fences all fixed up. See, trees would fall across them in the winter or something, break them down in place. And we'd have to go and cut them and put the stake in and get them back up before the farmers would bring the cattle up in there.
Yeah.
They give my dad $20 a year to look after cattle and take care of them, salt them and count.
Yeah.
They'd come in once or twice through the summer. See how everything was going. Some of the cows, they put quite a few up there at be fresh, and the calf would go along on his own, you know, in the summer. Sometime maybe they'd bring in 50 head, and in the fall they'd take out 60, 65.
Yeah.
Young calves.
Sure. During the winter, you were sitting around keeping warm, did anyone say where your family came from to get into the mountains?
Where my family came from?
Yeah.
Well, you mean our brothers and sisters?
No, your ancestors.
Oh. Well, we hardly ever had any visitors in the wintertime.
No, your ancestors, like your grandfather or great-grandfather.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have none of them up there. My granddad and grandma was dead and buried back there. But we never lived to see them.
You never heard anything about a great-grandparent?
No.
Living up there?
No.
I'm just wondering how they came to that
area. I don't know what you mean. I don't remember. I have heard my dad talk about his father a lot. Kind of in the slave time and all of that, when they used to bring people in there and work for nothing.
Yeah. If a stranger came into your area, what was the reaction?
Well, different things. We had a lot of strangers visit us. And some of them would be hunting home, and some of them would be for other business. Different kind of things. They'd want to ask us. Well, first place, some strangers come there to see my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And they visit most every Sunday. And they married people from the valley that used to come in there and see them and get acquainted with them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them were gone when the park made us leave.
Yeah.
The park treated, I think they treated my dad fair enough, because they gave him a decent price for his home. It like killed him to leave. But after all, we family didn't mind because we wanted to get out anyhow.
Yeah.
And the next question, if we hadn't got out, we'd all been just as dumb as we could be because we couldn't learn nothing up there.
Mm-hmm.
And after we got in this family meeting decent people, business people, and working with them and working for them, well, we got to learn what we do know. We didn't learn it back there in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't learn nothing back there. You wasn't much more than an animal.
Yeah. Speaking of animals, did you do any hunting?
Oh, me and my dad hunted all the time.
What did you hunt?
We hunted coons in the wintertime.
Did you have coon dogs?
Finest kind. That's what hurt him so bad was his coon dogs and no boy he could hunt. But we hunted from Elkton, Swift Run Gap, clean here to Jarman's Gap this side of Waynesburg. And then in the Sundays, in the summertime, we'd bee hunt. We'd find big trees and chop them down, take the honey out and carry it home.
Mm-hmm.
And carry two or three buckets with us. And my dad could put out a bait and let them get to suck and watch them fly, and he could go just as straight to them as you could shoot. And after I was with him a long time, I could do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Just watching them fly against the hillside.
Yeah.
And then we'd cut the tree down and notch it out and split notches in and get the honey out and put it in buckets and carry it home. Sometimes we'd get more than we could carry, and then a lot of times we didn't get none hardly.
Mm-hmm. You hunted coons. How about squirrels?
Oh, we hunted a lot.
Rabbits?
Oh, yeah, we hunted a lot of squirrels. We didn't do much rabbit hunting, but we hunted squirrels. I killed more squirrels than anybody out there.
What would you do with them? Did you sell the hides?
Oh, you couldn't do nothing to squirrel hides then, but we eat all the squirrels.
Yeah.
Mama would take as many as 10 and make a big, cook them in a big iron pot and make a pot pie.
Mmm.
And we all like it.
Sure.
We eat all the squirrels we kill.
Yeah. You never sold any of the rabbits?
Yeah. We couldn't catch them in the mountain in a box like they do in the valley.
Yeah.
They would not go in a box, but we set steel traps and catch them.
Yeah.
And when we did get some rabbits, we'd bring them over and sell them down at Mr. Doc Reed's store, 15 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever tan any hides?
No. We always sold the hides. It'd be a hide buyer come through the mountains late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of years, we did get up to where we got $10, $12, $14 for a top big coon hide. And then the comments going down and it went down to nothing where we just quit hunting them.
Uh-huh. Groundhogs?
Groundhogs, we caught them by the dozens.
Yeah.
These same coon dogs would keep one treed all the time. We comments have to keep them tied, keep on them. They go in the woods and trim themselves. And when they treed one up a tree, they could see they would never leave.
Mm.
You'd have to go after them.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with the coon. We had some of the finest coon dogs ever walked in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we got on Cedar Mountain, the big mountains, and turned them loose, they wouldn't hit nothing until they hit a coon. And when they hit one, he had to go.
Yeah.
And up a tree. We'd shoot a lot of them out. We didn't have flashlights then. If we'd have had flashlights, we wouldn't have had to cut no trees.
Yeah.
But we had to cut so many trees because we couldn't see them.
Yeah.
And some of them would have holes in the trees, would go inside the tree, and we'd have to cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
We've cut some in there for big sugar bear.
Mm-hmm.
And Hold the dogs till they hit the ground, turn them loose, and they go into it.
Oh, boy.
And fighting, I've seen them coons stand up and fight them dogs and holler just like a child. And just fight them just to tell you you took two good dogs to whoop a big old coon.
Yeah.
They could do some tall fight.
Yeah.
My daddy always wore them high top belts, and he'd get in on them and try to stomp them to help keep them from cutting the dogs up so bad.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh boy, they would. We'd shake one out on top of some of them mountains. I'd climb between and shake him out. And when we got him killed, it'd be in the hollow a mile from there. They'd just keep rolling. Dogs in the coop. And we'd keep rolling behind. Slipping up, falling, sliding, and get down and have him down in the hollow and kill him. For 1 mile off the top of the mountain, we've had a many coons to fight and roll the dogs a mile. They'd never let him go.
Yeah, right. They were good coons.
Oh, the best.
Yeah, right.
We had one yellow dog coon to try to run to the hollow and four calling and places and Dundo Hollow and get in the creek to fool him. And we had a yellow dog that they could not fool in the creek. He would go in too and swim up and down the creek and run them back out so he could get the track. And wherever they come out, he picked the track up again.
Gee, what a smart dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then up in Dundo Hollow one time, I will have to tell you, we had a coon that he'd been chased so much by dogs, I guess, that got smart. He run out on the bank and sail over on top of some bushes in the creek. And he sat down on the bank, wind him from the bank, and treed him from over on the bank. He didn't tree him up the tree. And when we got there, my dad says, he's right over in them bushes. He's winding from him. And we went down in there, and I come up in and start shaking him, and down he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we caught lots of coons.
Yeah. You know, going all the way down to German's Gap, were there many houses down that way?
No houses.
No.
After you left Jarman's Gap on the east side of the mountain, there's some old-time antique buildings around the mountain towards Waynesboro, over under the mountain.
Yeah.
But wasn't no houses from Jarman's Gap, or on the mountain from Jarman's Gap. The only house was between where we lived and Jarman's Gap was Lee Jackson's old log house.
Mm-hmm.
We passed through his field with the Skyland Drive where I worked up for 7 years.
Yeah, I want to get into that in a minute. But first of all, when you were a little boy, did you have any special job that was yours?
No, not till I left the mountain.
Okay. You just all pitched in and
everybody
did whatever?
Yeah, we all pitched in and have to do what Mom and Dad asked us to do, all getting in the wood.
Did you ever tell your mother and father, I won't do it?
No, I know. Papa didn't let us tell him that. If we did, some of us tell him that, then we would get the switch.
Yeah.
And one thing I will always give my daddy credit for, he learned all of his children to be honest and treat people like we'd like to be treated. That's what helped me when I left the mountain and got to dealing with decent people, church people, and business people. I treated them like I'd like for him to treat me, and I got along fine. I went to see my business, and I stayed in it 40 years, all the way from Front Royal clean to Greenville.
We want to talk about that in a second, but first of all, we're still back in the mountains.
Yeah.
Christmas. Did you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, we generally always had a dance on Christmas.
You did? Did you hang up stockings or anything of that kind?
Oh, Mom and Dad would come as Santa Claus, and they hung a black stocking full of some candy in the bottom and a couple of oranges on top. Mm-hmm. One of used to give us apples for we had to sell a fool.
Yeah.
But they'd put the stocking, a big old time black stocking up 6 inches of candy, with a couple of oranges in the top and hanging on the chairs in the room.
Yeah.
And we couldn't wait the next morning to get up and come down.
Sure. Did you shoot off firecrackers?
Yeah. We got them big ones, what they call thunderbolts.
Oh.
And we could light them and throw them up back down on the hillsides and shoot them, and they'd roar like a dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Just from hollow to hollow.
Yeah. Did you do anything called the Kris Kringlers?
and I just don't understand it.
And did you dress up on Christmas and go from house to house?
Yeah. After we got old enough, we went in and out here all the time, started going to girls here in the valley. That's the way I found that woman young. We would dress up. We dressed nice. After we had money and kept money when we was in the moonshine then.
Yeah.
Till the revenue man got to come in and cutting us up and breaking us up.
You mentioned that you wore no shoes, but you did in the winter, didn't you?
Well, in the last part of after we got full along and got in this moonshine business stuff, well, we could all buy our own shoes.
Yeah.
When we got old enough.
But when you were a little boy, you didn't wear shoes in the winter?
Not much.
Didn't you get frostbitten toes?
No, we'd stay in the house till we got old. And after we got older, we got to get a shoes.
Uh-huh.
My daddy worked awful hard trying to raise all of us.
Sure.
And Mama too.
Yeah, right. Did you ever play any practical jokes on anyone?
Well, I don't really know. Remember, I used to be a terrible fellow for joking. I just don't remember. I guess I did.
Yeah. Did you play marbles with other boys?
Yes, ma'am. We'd get set marbles up and shoot them out of the sand, set and pack them out. My daddy could beat us all. He had big long thumbnails and he could set first nail on the kitchen floor and pick that cinnamon out.
Uh-huh.
He could beat every one of us in the family shooting marbles.
Great. Yeah. Did you ever play any baseball or anything of that kind? Pitch horseshoes?
We pitch horseshoes a lot. We didn't pitch, in the last few years we was up there, we pitched ball in the evenings after we got up some size. But we played horseshoes from little boys on up.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't
that
it?
Was our motto. We had one family of people born in the garrison lived 8 miles from us. In the summertime, we'd go visit him one Sunday. He had two boys, both grown, and we'd all play horseshoes all day and eat dinner with them. And the next Sunday, they'd come and visit us.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have dinner and play horseshoes.
Hey, great.
Hey.
Yeah. And on Christmas, you had a dance.
Yeah, most every Christmas we'd have a square dance.
Was this at your house or?
Well, we had a different one.
Ah.
The neighbors on the way over what note about we'd come to our home, and then when they had a dance, we'd go to theirs.
Mm-hmm. Christmas then was a fun day.
Oh, Lord, yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Marvelous. Now, let's see. Oh, my good Lord and me, I'm going to give you a cup of coffee. And do you care for cream or sugar?
No, I don't.
Would you drink yours? Now, to get your supplies, how did you get your supplies? Did you take the wagon, horse and wagon?
We hauled them with horse and wagon until we got in the automobile business.
Okay. But before that, you came down Brown Gap Road?
Yes, ma'am.
Into Grottoes?
Yes, ma'am.
Then would you bring things down so that you could get cash or credit? So you were saying that you took your wagon. Did you take anything down in the wagon to the store to get credit?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We hauled cabbage and potatoes out of the mountain. We raised lots of potatoes.
And eggs. Huckleberries?
Yeah, we picked huckleberries too and sold them.
Yeah. Okay, now, would the store give you credit or cash?
Well, they would do either way, but we always needed enough to deal out what we needed for what we took. Sometimes they have to pay them different. We never asked for no cash.
All right.
My dad had awful good credit with these business people, but he hated to ever go in debt anymore than he had to.
No. Did you, you were sort of young, so maybe you didn't notice, but do you know how fellows would court a girl?
Court them?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, maybe I don't know just enough about that. I know I started out at it when I was too young. And,
would they do it like an apple butter boiling?
Oh, yeah. Every time it bumped the kettle, they'd have to kiss her. And if she was caught and bumped the kettle, then they'd kiss her.
Get into a very unhappy subject, funerals. You've had your own graveyard.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you make the coffins, would the coffins be made to fit the body? Like if it was a child, would they use a very tiny?
Well, the undertaker would come in on and look at the corpse, and then they would bring a casket to right, put right fit firm.
In the olden days, they didn't have embalming.
No, ma'am.
So, did they keep the body in the house?
Well, lots of times they did. Keep them back around home till they'd be on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of children back there. We didn't have no doctor, had old time granny woman. Mm-hmm. They'd go around from one house to another. One old woman just stayed and made she. They'd always give her a little something, and she made a living going around when she was baby born, cutting maple strings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No grand, no doctors.
Did your mother know any herbs?
Herbs and ground?
To use for medicines?
Well, she used pentamint and ginseng.
What did she use the ginseng for?
She ground the ginseng, and I forget anymore what she used it for, but, and then she used the apple brandy with peppermint in it.
What for?
For cramps or sickness. When you get sick, take a little drink of that sometime.
That's what you should have had this morning.
Yeah, that's right. I wish I did have a little drink of apple brandy. If I do belong to the church.
If you got a cold, what would she give you?
She kept a little white jug with apple brandy in it. Good double, good brandy for sickness. A little white stone jug. And she'd give us a little of that apple brandy or else Epsom salts or turpentine.
Turpentine with sugar?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever make sassafras tea? Sassafras tea?
Oh, yeah. When we didn't have no coffee, we dig in sassafras roots and peel them, wash them, and make a tea.
Mm-hmm.
We used that steady coffee lots and lots of times.
Right. Okay. I was just trying to think of any of the other herbs that were used. See if you knew about them. Well, okay. Now you gave me this poem that your father wrote.
He wrote that when he was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Penitentiary.
Was that because of making the moonshine?
He was caught carrying a steel on his arm.
Oh.
And he told the revenue man, my dad didn't know then, that was about when they first come in the mountain. He didn't know the difference, I'm sure. But he told them that he knew he had to pay for that, and could he pay them his fine, and they told him, yeah. And if you give us $200 a piece, you can go. And he didn't have but $100. And he'd give him $100, and he'd come over a mile home and got $100 from me and took back and gave him the other $100, and they let him go. And late on in the day, they caught my brother manufacturing whiskey, Morganhurst, and when he went in late that evening to bail him out, they turned him in for bribing, and he got 2 years in Atlanta, Georgia.
How terrible!
Yeah, They were going to keep it, I reckon, but after Dad went out that evening, maybe they got scared he would tell on them.
Yeah.
John Durden and Dolph Mosh, they had took care of the $200 all day, but when he went out that evening to bail my brother out, they turned him in for bribing, and they gave him 2 years in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where he was when he wrote that letter.
That is injustice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to kill the old man. He didn't know the difference. He didn't have no education. He said, I know, gentlemen, says, I got to pay a fine for this. Can I pay y'all, or do I have to go to town and pay it? Out of John Durden and Dolph Mosh, they the ones cleaned up the mountain. They said, yeah, you can pay us if you give us $100 a piece. He said, well, I don't have but $100, but if y'all let me go home, I can bring back the other $100. Less than an hour, I'll be back. And he come home and borrowed $100 off of me and went back and paid him. And they just let him go. He went on, he thought he was free. And that late that evening, my brother caught his son. And when he went out to bail him out, they turned him in for bribing. And he got 2 years in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where he was when he wrote that letter.
Oh, boy. All right, now the park came along and your father got well paid for it, you say?
Yes, ma'am.
And you all moved down into Grottoes or where?
Uh-uh.
Where'd you move?
Well, we moved to Stony Point, down to Stony Point, below Charlottesville. 10 miles east of Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like, if you can stop your tape for a minute, tell you something. The government come along very slow. They chased me over an old Tuckey hole. I moved down in Barbersville, 10 miles below Charlottesville. Old poor Brumsage farm. I planted potatoes in the spring, dug them in the fall, and they're so damn little I eat them skin and all. From there on we went and moved in and out to come back, and the men, the contractors come for the Skyland Drive, and they give me and my boys a job. Papa was a watchman. I played him through the job, M.E. Gaylord, from Brown's Gap to Swift Run.
Hmm.
And he said he'd never seen no machinery or nothing. He stood up on the hill when the jackhammers and drills was in such a roar that like to him he'd never heard before. When it hit old Raggedy Mountain, it hit it so high, the boom of the shovel looked like it was going to reach the sky. That is when they went on around, that Raggedy Mountain is the highest mountain up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved from there on down in Elkton, and they gave him a job down there, watching the machinery. They left it there for months. And my dad stayed down and guarded at nights till they left here. And then I worked for Luke Challenge from Brown's Gap to
Black. This is the CCC.
That is a contractor.
Yeah.
I worked for Luke Challenge from Black Rock, from Brown's Gap to Black Rock there.
Doing what?
Putting in the Skyland Drive. Was driving trucks. My daddy was watchman. We was all truck drivers. And I stayed with him and got on there then with the governor, Mr. L. McClellan from Shenandoah. And Mr. G.Y. Cartman Waynesboro was superintendent. And he treated us very nice. We maintained and stayed on the drive for years. I stayed with them clean through. I finally got to haul T.C. Prime out of Richmond with a Diamond T truck.
Oh, boy.
And then when we was maintaining, we moved up there, me and my wife. And she cooked for 10 of us for our lunch up there. And some of us stayed up for a night and some didn't. Some went home. Austin Jordan and Ed Short, they was with us then. And I stayed on with them, clean on through to Buena Vista. Me and another boy went back in the mountain of Buena Vista and sawed wood for the engineers. I worked with them from Fort Royal to Buena Vista. Was up there 7 years. We worked the most of the time we was there for 30 cents an hour all the way through, and towards the last when we got driving trucks, we got up to 50. Mm. That's the most we ever got.
All right, so you got your food, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And lodging?
No, we didn't get into that. We had to furnish all of that.
Oh, okay.
We bought the food to board them with. They give my wife so much a week for the board up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we bought all the food. We'd come down off the mountain and get groceries every night to stuff to cook and fix up there.
How did you learn cement work?
Well, I just really don't know. I come down off of the mountain. I just getting old and I start to work and I didn't have nothing to do. And I start out in the cement. And we finished by hand then, me and my brothers. And we got into it bigger and bigger. And then I bought two finished machines.
Mm-hmm.
And only thing I done wrong, I stayed in a little too long, I reckon. I got this arthritis so bad I can't hardly walk. We poured cement from Front Royal clean to Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All over this valley. Basements, porches, carports.
But there's a knack to doing it. How did you learn it?
Well, I just nicely put it up by watching it. I watched some older men. There's an old man into it when I started. He said, Mr. Tarr said, I want to tell you something. He said, you can make a lot of money in this cement. But he was hopping. He said, when you get old, you'll be just in my shape, standing in this wet cement. And if ever a man told me the truth, he told me the truth. Now I can't hardly walk at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was in cement 40 years, and I got a record of some of the best finishing in the cement of anybody in the valley.
Beautiful.
And we worked, I stayed the government up, I stayed with the contractors and government 7 years on a Skyland Drive. I know where the springs in that mountain that we found bee hunting, coon hunting, that I know the rangers don't run off the boat, run just cold as ice. Coming out near the tops of the mountains, we used to find when we was bee hunting, coon hunting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you ever see any bear?
Bear? Hardly ever then, wasn't many there.
But you did see something?
Oh yeah, it was a few. And a few deer. We saw the biggest buck deer we ever seen in our life pull the park come in here. Up in Patterson's Field, back at Ivy Branch. That's a deer crossing the ranger's toes.
Mm-hmm.
They see more at Ivy Branch than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to hunt there.
Oh no.
You can get in a blow there off the park, which you do every year, and hunt. Up to the park line.
Yeah, right. That is very unusual because there were no bear north of Swift Run Gap that I've been able to find out.
North of the Swift Run Gap.
Uh-huh.
Well, we seen a couple bear in around Brown's Gap.
Yeah.
And we seen one deer, two deers. We saw a deer up here going up Brown's Gap one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we seen one at Patterson's Field with back there.
Yeah.
Bee hunting.
Yeah.
I don't suppose the park ever come in there. But after all said and done, I thank the park for coming in, taking us, running us out of the mountain. When they come in there, it was exactly like a bunch of hunters going in a gang of birds shooting at them. They went everywhere. I used to know a lot of girls I was going with back there. They disappeared and went to Pennsylvania and all other states. I don't know where many of the old people got to, but everybody left. But they treated everybody decent. They give them a fair price for the home.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, all he done, he just hurt him bad to leave. He'd been all his life. He figured he couldn't make a living nowhere else. And he didn't make much after he left. But we boys got into money and the cement and stuff, and we helped him and Mama out. I moved, put this house up right across the road from my mother, and she lived in there, and she had to have sugar diabetes shot for 4 years before she died, and I tended to all of that.
Mm.
I gave her the shots myself till her shoulders looked just like a pincushion.
Boy, were there many bad diseases up there?
No, ma'am.
Diphtheria?
No. You all ever hear of anybody having any kind of disease in the mountain.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that during that drought, it was in 1930, it was a bad drought, and that a lot of the springs dried up and it caused typhoid fever.
I never heard of them. Not up there. So I do know a lot of springs dried up. Now, the spring where we live never dries. I found it 10 years ago, but it growed up so bad I didn't know where we was, me and my brother. But we found it by looking at the mountains and the hollows. We know that had to be the hollow we lived in. And we kept looking and carrying on until we found the spring. They and my brother and another band had been there on Sunday before and they couldn't. I told them I could find it, and I did find it. And this guy was with us, I forget his name, he found a deer horn where a deer had run against a tree and broke it off. And he turned it right upside down. It was a great big 6-foot square rock over a spring. He turned them deer horns upside down and dug all the leaves out of it. And we had a few cans of stuff to eat, and we sat down and ate them.
Oh, great. Do you know how your family made out with their vegetables during that drought?
Well, we, I just don't know back when, just too much about that, but there's one thing about Mom and Papa. They stayed ahead a year on most everything. In the can and the meat and the potatoes and all would keep on as they'd keep in the spring. He buried a lot of his potatoes in the ground. And he kept a lot in the cellar. We had a cement cellar. So they tried to stay way ahead. When he'd get his pay for looking after stock in the fall, he'd take all his money and buy coffee and sugar and flour. Stuff we had to have in the winter when we get snowed in and couldn't get out. And sometimes as much as 2 weeks, maybe three, we couldn't get out on horses.
Yeah.
And when it got out where we could go, me and my brother ride horses out here and get stuff and carry it back on horses on in sacks back to our home.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of the hairs of a horse working through a sack of meal?
Yeah. It'll do that. We had that done.
What did you do to protect the
Well, it'd have to be cleaned very closely.
Yeah.
Pour those small amounts at a time, take your fingers and go through it to clean it. We've had that done.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something else, lady, I can remember that don't a lot of people believe in. I remember one time at night we was riding back into our home and a jack-o'-lantern come down over the mountain. And he landed on one of the horse's head. And my daddy took a switch and kept rubbing it up and down. The horse got to snorting and jumping, just went wild. And he took a switch and kept rubbing it up and down, rubbing it off, and it left in a round ball with sparks in it like these Christmas sparkles children have. And we watched it go clean to the hollow and clean up over the other side of Cedar Mountain. We sat down on our horse and watched it till it went out of sight. And then another time, one come down the hollow by our house, and we all sitting on the back porch in the summertime and watched it till it went up across Cedar Mountain. They both went the same way. A little round ball of fire with sparks coming from.
Sure.
And we don't know what it is. I don't know whether anybody else knows or not. But you hear the jack-o'-lantern.
Sure, right.
But when it got on that horse's head, he just went wild. And just the one my daddy was riding, he always kept a riding switch, and he took and rubbed it up off of the horse's ears and all. And he'd keep crawling back around his neck, and he just had a fit. And finally all closed together like a ball of fire and took off. And you could see the little sparks from it like Christmas sparks.
It didn't cause any fire?
No fire. No. And went through the woods about 4 foot off the ground, and went clean to the hollow, and we watched it go clear up Cedar Mountain until it went over top. That's a high mountain.
Yeah.
We live right in the hollow on this side under Cedar Mountain.
Great. Oh, okay. Now, fires. I just mentioned fires. Did you have many fires?
Oh, yeah. We had mountain fires that you couldn't hardly do nothing with. And the most far up in our section was set by a woman and her children. And she'd do it for minutes. We had our barns burnt with all our feed, every bite of feed we had in them. And Lee Garrison had his and burnt with every bit of feed in the fall of the year he had. But moral compilations at this Lee Garrison wife, he had two women up there he lived with, and one of them had a couple of children. She'd make them go and set these farms. Me and my dad come down by their place, and we tried to come through the bushes where they wouldn't see us, but they still seen us. And just as soon as we got down the hollow, looked back, the mountain was just full in a light blaze. She made the children come right down the mountain behind us and set it behind us to make it appear we done.
I wonder why she did that.
Oh, she just liked that. She done that. She's dead now. Biddy Frazier. That was her name. And we had some powerful forests in that time. But where we lived, we was in a grassy field away from the hillside. So far never bothered us around our house. We had pasture fields and our grass for miles, and the far couldn't get to our place.
And it did get to your barn.
Oh, burnt the barn, several barns was burned in there. And they accused her. She told somebody later that she had it done. But nobody never did have arrested or nothing. Couldn't exactly prove it. She'd come in court, she denied it, and they just let it go at that. But it put us in bad shape.
Yeah.
My dad had to sell, I think, one of his cows and two horses, because he had nothing to feed them that winter. But he got them back the next summer. Mm-hmm. He brought others back.
Let's put it this way. What kind of a lock did you have on your door?
Just plain locks like you got now.
Oh, you did have a lock on
mm-hmm.
You locked your house?
Yeah.
There was stealing.
Stealing wasn't bad up there. Hardly ever lost anything. I never hardly ever hear anybody talking about somebody stealing something from me. Now, it was families in there would do mean things. Somebody shot through our window one night with buckshot, was all sitting in the living room. And we knew who he was, Junivar, a man by the name of Junivar. He died in Pennsylvania. But him and my dad had a few words about something, and he come by that drunk and shot through the window with buckshot. We got him over the floor, swept him over the floor. Didn't hurt nobody. And little things like that to do. We had play wagons set against the bottom of the hills we had run, made out of. We'd saw a gum tree down, bore a hole in it and put wheels on it. That's the only kind of wagon we had, and they'd get them sometime and take and bust them all up. And things like that.
Yeah.
But first stealing, I don't remember any stealing was talked about in Mountain Top.
Then you really didn't need a lock on your house.
We really didn't need it. Not the only thing, except one of them drunks some night would come, maybe come in.
Ooh. Yeah.
But we always kept, my dad always kept a double barrel shotgun sitting in the corner. He'd never keep it loaded, but he had the shells right there in case somebody come in and bothered us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that made sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
the people were pretty hot-tempered, weren't they?
Yeah, we had a lot of fights up there.
Yeah.
And you know, the old people used to meet 10 pounds, get in that field and bring their sons to fight each other to see which one win. which one was the best man. They fit and fit till they just almost died. My dad said he seen old man Doris Garrison have his son there and Tom Frazier, and said he stood right back from him. He was young then, and said, Doris Garrison was whooping Tom Frazier, fixing to make him holler, and said his daddy walked by and said, "Don't holler, Tom," said, "Die with him." And Tom Frazier whooped him. He finally got the best of the old man, Doris Garrison. But he punched one of his eyes to thumbnail clean out on his face. They fit up there till it, and so one could brag about his son was the best man. They met by bunches and fit up in that field here in Webb's Field. That's right in Brown's Gap, that field up. That's where they fight it. And in the start of the park, that's where we had our big dinner.
Mm-hmm.
the government men come in there, and everybody fixed. Mama bought a whole ham a day. And we had a big dinner there in the very starting of meeting the men there, the authorities. That is the first of it.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, they begin to come in and out and survey and talk till they commenced taking the farm over. Now, they did leave a few old houses standing in the park, bog houses, I reckon, for souvenirs. But it's grown up so bad now, you can't see them from the drive.
Right.
You can't see them.
No. You have been simply wonderful, Mr. Harris. You don't know what you have done.
Oh, I'm real glad to do anything I can.
You have. You've done it. It's beautiful. You have given the most marvelous story. Can you think of anything else?
Well, the next thing I got to say is that if we'd have stayed in there, we never would have known anything. And after we got out here and went to school and got to meeting and working with decent people, church people, and business people, we learned something myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have no trouble with nobody, and I never did after I left the mountain. I just got along with everybody I ever worked for in my life, and I reckon I've worked for hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them church people, business people. And when you go working and meeting and talking with them kind of people, you learn something yourself.
Right.
And I made a lot of money in the cement I worked, but I had a lot of people needed money. I give all my money away. That's why I don't have nothing now.
You're a wonderful person.
I had so many people that were real hard up and need money in our families, and I give the most of the money I ever made away.
Mm.
I didn't save none of it. I'm sorry I didn't, but I just, when you see somebody real bad in need, if you got something, you're going to give it to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I sure do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way.